live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. Happy Friday, or as I like to say, Fri-yay to you all. It is March 29th, 2019. This is actually the last time I'll be talking to you guys before we turn the page on March of 2019. April 1st is Monday. Can you believe that? So happy end of March to you all. I am sure that many of our current sports listeners last night enjoyed watching last night's action, day one of the Sweetness of 16. Some really close games, with the exception of what happened to the Michigan Wolverines at the hands of Texas Tech. I couldn't believe that. I thought it was going to be a down-to-the-wire game. Two fantastic defensive programs going at it. But the Michigan Wolverines, my goodness, they just couldn't score. Much of that, again, having to do with Texas Tech's outstanding defense. But, you know, Texas Tech was still able to offensively find spots to score on that really stout Wolverines D. Not the case for the Wolverines on the offensive side of the floor, leading to one of the worst offensive performances that we have ever seen, not just in Michigan basketball history, but in NCAA tourney history, all right? So we'll recap what happened last night in the world of college basketball, because other than Michigan and Texas Tech, some fun games, folks. Some games I really, really enjoyed. Purdue representing the Big Ten right now, topping Rick Barnes in Tennessee. You had Oregon and Virginia going down to the wire. That was a fun game as well. And then also Gonzaga and FSU. Pretty entertaining game coming down to the final minutes of that second half as well. All right, so we'll recap Thursday night. We'll, of course, preview what tonight's Sweetness of 16 offers up. And, of course, one of those games will be your Michigan State men's basketball program taking on the LSU Tigers. LSU, a program that has been going through a ton of distraction and controversy. How much will that play a factor in tonight's matchup against the Spartans for the Tigers? We'll talk a lot about this game in just a moment. You don't want to miss that conversation. We'll also, of course, touch on the rest of the slate that includes North Carolina and Auburn, Virginia Tech, Duke, Houston, and Kentucky as well. All right. Then later on in the show, we will invite, as we do each and every Friday here on Current Sports, we'll talk with, from the West Coast, MSU alum and founder of Blessed Body Training, Johnny Lewis, as Johnny will continue to motivate you, giving you a health tip that you can use in the kitchen. And he'll highlight a workout that you can tackle in the gym with another edition of Fit Fridays. All right, so a loaded show. If you would like to be a part of it, call in. We would like to hear from you. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can comment below the live stream, and you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. You know what's next. Here are your quick hit headliners. Start with March Madness in the NCAA men's basketball tournament. Michigan lost its opportunity to continue to play in the Big Dance, losing to Texas Tech 63-44. This was an absolute drubbing. This was not close at all. And, you know, watching this game, you kind of, at least I had the thought that, okay, Michigan's down early here, but somehow, some way, they're going to find a way to play themselves back into this game, and it just never happened. Texas Tech owned this game from start to finish, really, as they did set a record as the team that scored the fewest points ever in an NCAA tournament game, Michigan, of course. The team couldn't string together much offense, only scoring one three-pointer with a minute left in the game. It came in garbage time. Texas Tech will now face number one seed Gonzaga tomorrow night at 6:09 p.m. And Gonzaga, of course, handled business against Florida State. That was a 72-58 win. That was close now, coming down to the wire. Don't let that final score fool you. FSU put up some fight in crunch time, but in the end, it wasn't enough. We also saw the Purdue Boilermakers, a game that went to overtime. And Tennessee really had this game, but Charles Matthews got fouled beyond the arc to go to the line shooting three free throws. He really could have given Purdue the win there in regulation, but he missed the first free throw, sank the next two to tie the game, pushing it to overtime. And from there, Matt Painter's team won 99-94, and then we saw Virginia topping Oregon 53-49, the final there. Oregon, though, that defense really made things interesting in that second half. So, when it comes to what happens tonight, well, you know that Michigan State plays, two-seed MSU plays three-seed LSU in Washington, D.C., 7:09 p.m. is the tip time for this one. The Spartans defeated number 15 Bradley 76-65 in the first round, and then top 10 seed Minnesota by 20 points, 70-50. The final there, the Tigers beat 14 seed Yale in a tight one, 79-74 in the first round. And in the second round, Tremont Waters hit a game-winning layup with 1.6 seconds left over number 6 seed and fellow Big Ten foe Maryland. The only other time these two teams faced each other, MSU went on to win 87-71. That is during the 1979 NCAA tournament, winning the national championship, of course, led by Greg Kelcer and the one, the only, Irvin Magic Johnson. All right, MSU baseball will take on the University of Michigan this weekend. The two teams will play a three-game home-and-home series this weekend, starting tonight at McLean Baseball Stadium. The Spartans are 0-3 in conference play, 4-18 overall. The Wolverines are 17-7 overall, with this series being the first conference games. And Connor Mathis, engineer of Today's Current Sports. Connor, can we double-check on the first pitch of that game? Because I believe, due to possible rain later on today, I believe they moved it up to 2 p.m. or 1 p.m. Can we double check on that? Let's double check on that. All right, MSU softball as well takes on Indiana this weekend, playing a three-game series in Bloomington. Indiana was ranked last week at 22, but dropped out of the rankings after losing four straight games. The Hoosiers are 0-3 in conference. The Spartans are 11-18 overall and 1-2 in conference. Also, Eastern Michigan University has been in some trouble with Title IX. Earlier today, it was announced that the EMU softball team will halt the process of reinstating the softball team to find a head coach and wait until the merits of the case are decided. The ruling states that there must be a reinstatement of the women's tennis team and that the improvement in facilities must be equal for the men's and women's team. This lawsuit was filed in June of 2018 by former tennis and softball athletes. So again, we'll be updating you on how this whole thing plays out. We've had multiple discussions about EMU and the entire situation happening with Title IX and, just athletics at EMU, period, okay? So we'll see again. But at the end of the day, Eastern Michigan University does not have to meet a court order to hire a softball coach by Monday. That's what an appeals court ruled late yesterday, even while saying a lower court's ruling on the underlying Title IX issues seem, quote, sound. So, yeah, we'll follow that, folks. But a lot of drama out in Ypsilanti. All right, Jordan Zimmerman. Wow. Was he good or what? I honestly was glued to my TV yesterday watching some baseball, watching that Detroit Tigers season opener yesterday, because that's like the only time I watch it. You know, you'll catch me a few times if the Tigers are playing well. I'll tune in and catch a game. I'll go to Comerica Park and catch a game here and there. But I like watching the opening day game just because, you know, I like seeing what the team will possibly look like throughout the year. I'm sure many of you baseball fans were glued to your television watching that performance from Jay Zim, because he was perfect for 6 2/3 innings of work. In a win over the Blue Jays on opening day, the Tigers ended up winning that game 2-0. This is one that went to extras, went to the 10th after Christian Stewart hit a 2-run homer. And the Tigers will play the Blue Jays again tonight at 7:07 p.m. Also, another game I was watching other than March Madness last night. The Detroit Pistons defeated the Orlando Magic 115-98 in what seems to be a potential playoff tiebreaker. The win moved the Pistons into the sixth seed in the NBA's Eastern Conference. Wayne Ellington had 25 points, including seven. Yes, count them. Seven three-pointers. Blake Griffin added 20 points, had 10 boards as well. Double dub for him. And Andre Drummond also with a double-double. 18 points, 18 rebounds, and also throw in six blocks for good measure in that win for the red, white, and royal blue over the Orlando Magic last night. Good stuff there. The Detroit Red Wings topped the Sabres 5-4 in overtime. Tyler Bertuzzi had two goals, including the game winner. Dylan Larkin reached 30 goals on the season after also scoring two goals last night in Buffalo against the Sabres. So right now it's like, why are the Wings winning? Just why? Why? Just continue to tank, right? Lose for Hughes. What happened to that? But the Wings winning 5-4. Okay, Greg Schiano, a defensive coach on the Patriots staff, he has resigned from the organization. He was a part of the team for about 2 months, and the Pats never actually stated what Schiano's role would be. His claim for leaving was he needed to spend more time with his faith and his family. Schiano's leaving may lead head coach Bill Belichick to take on more defensive responsibilities. Who knows? But this really kind of came out of nowhere. So, yeah, Greg Schiano no longer with the New England Patriots staff after a 2 month stint. And Robert Kraft, speaking of the New England Patriots, right? Kraft officially filed a request to suppress video evidence in his solicitation of prostitution case yesterday. That's according to the New York Times writer Ken Benson. Now, police in Palm Beach County, Florida, reportedly had videos of Kraft at the Orchids of Asia Spa, Benson reports. Kraft's lawyers described the video in question as, quote, governmental outreach, end quote, and claimed the Jupiter, Florida Police Department overstepped their bounds in pursuing a case against Kraft and 24 other men. Of course, Robert Kraft is the owner of the NFL dynasty, the New England Patriots. So, we'll see how that plays out. Connor, do we have a time update on... Well, you gave me that time update in my ear. Michigan State baseball will take on Michigan today at 1 p.m. So they're underway right now, and we'll try and provide a score update.
Other part of that Kraft story is apparently there have been several media outlets that filed against that, saying no, you should, the court should release these. They're part of the, they're part of the record. They're part of the case.
Exactly. So this is just Robert Kraft trying to protect his reputation.
Oh yeah,
right
no,
now.
there. I think I remember correctly. There was like the Orlando Sentinel, and then the Miami Herald. There was a couple other major publications. I believe the New York Times filed something for against it too. So it's interesting to see how that will play out.
Yeah, we'll see. I think eventually the video will come out, and. How Robert Kraft and the Patriots will deal with that backlash, we'll see. But, yeah, again, this is just Robert Kraft trying to salvage whatever is left of his stout. I use that very, very, very lightly, stout reputation, or lack thereof. Okay, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. What are your thoughts on March Madness? What do you think will happen tonight between Michigan State and LSU? What were your thoughts on what happened last night between Michigan and Texas Tech? Did you expect a blowout like that? And also, how far do you think Purdue will go in the tournament now after, you know, ousting Tennessee yesterday in overtime? That was a very entertaining game. Want to hear your thoughts on March Madness, folks? 517-355-WKAR 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR news and you can comment below the live stream. And you can also join the convo on Twitter. Tweet the show at WKAR news or tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. What a night it was, right? I mean, Sweet 16 action. That was a fun day one of Sweet 16 action, wasn't it? And tonight we will get to see a few blue bloods go at it in the world of men's college basketball. I mean, I'm talking about programs like North Carolina. I'm talking about Kentucky. I'm talking about Duke. And of course, you know, I'm referring to Michigan State. I mean, yeah, four blue bloods. Michigan State, North Carolina, Duke, and Kentucky all in action in one night. That's fun stuff. Say what you will about the tournament, you know, and I hinted on this yesterday. You know, we love to see the Cinderella in the upset, right? Can, you know, the Cinderella. Can George Mason go all the way? Can they go to a Final Four? It usually does not happen. You know, you get like one or two games like that, you know, a year. But I love it when, you know, you have these top seeds that can go relatively deep in the tournament, because I just like watching premier programs go at it deep in the tournament. I love watching a North Carolina, a Duke, Kentucky, and, of course, a Michigan State, and, you know, playing for a chance to go to the Elite Eight and possible Final Four. That's fun stuff. You know, I want to see the best play the best. So tonight, what your lineup looks like, 7:09 p.m., starting with Michigan State, 2-seed, taking on 3-seed LSU. And then at 7:29 p.m., you'll have number 1-seed North Carolina taking on 5-seed Auburn. Should be fun to see Charles Barkley and Kenny the Jet Smith, because they said they're going to do this, because Charles Barkley, I believe, last week had all of his Auburn gear on. They had Auburn stuffed animals and flags and everything on his desk. And Kenny's like, where's my stuff at? So their two schools play each other tonight. And Kenny said, look, I want the same thing. So you'll probably see on the broadcast for CBS, when they go to halftime or prior to the game, you'll see Charles Barkley, I'm sure, with all of his Auburn stuff on his portion of the desk. And then you'll see Kenny the Jet Smith with North Carolina paraphernalia everywhere. That should be fun. And then after LSU and Michigan State, you'll have Duke and Virginia Tech. And then after Auburn and UNC, you'll have Houston taking on Kentucky. So excited about tonight's game. But last night was pretty fun. It was pretty fun. First off, let's just touch on Michigan. Let's touch on Michigan real briefly here, because that was pretty embarrassing. Michigan fans aren't feeling too hot today. 63-44 was the final. And this wasn't just a loss. This was a massacre. This was a drubbing. This was a complete embarrassment. Let's just call it like it is. If Michigan State had lost like this, if Michigan State loses like this, against LSU or against Duke, I'll be saying the same thing come Monday, folks. This was bad. And you know, this was a loss of historical proportions. You know, this was the worst NCAA tournament loss since 1992. That 19-point margin of defeat last night was Michigan's worst in the tournament since 92. That's when the Wolverines fell to Duke 71-51. That was a 20-point loss at the hands of the Blue Devils in the national title game. You guys remember that era, right? The Fab Five era. Also, Michigan's 44 points, the fewest in NCAA tournament history. You know, Jack Kerwin joked, engineer of the Tuesday, Thursday Current Sports, Jack joked, and we both talked about how both of these teams are defensive powerhouses in college basketball. And Jack joked and said, oh, the final score would be like 15-14. And I laughed because, yeah, these are really good defensive teams. But we both didn't think it would be lopsided like this. Michigan was the team that couldn't score. That offense, gosh, I'm still searching for Michigan's offense right now. That offense is on a milk carton right now. Michigan's 44 points, the fewest in NCAA tournament history. The previous record was 45 points scored in 1948. I think, you know, people were taking like horse and carriage to class here on MSU's campus. I mean, 1948, that's a long time ago. 1948 against Holy Cross. That's before the three-point line was even invented, folks. Kid you not, that's true. And, you know, also, fewest points by a 2-seed in NC2A history. Now what's cooler than being cool? Yeah. Andre, ice cold, baby. Nice job, Connor. Ice cold. They were ice cold. Fewest points by a 2-seed in NCAA history. Michigan struggling offensively last night. Tied for 238th nationally when it came to offensive production this season. 70.5 points per game is what Michigan averaged. And you put up 44 points last night. And I really thought that Michigan, I didn't think they were going to hit a three-pointer. I did not think they were. It came, as I mentioned in the headliners, it came in garbage time. It's when John Beilein, he emptied his bench and put in like the 18th string, you know, players. And they came out and walk on C.J. Bayard, who was also a former team manager. He came out there and prevented another embarrassing line for Michigan. And that three was such a weird three. I think it's one of those threes that like hit the back iron and just said, all right, I'm going to go in, and just went in. So the Wolverines, you know, didn't go 0-for from deep, but 1-for-19. Also shot 32.7% overall. Pretty bad. And I think it also, you know, a performance like this, let's be real, this we won't see an offensive performance like this from any team in the tournament moving forward. If it happens, I don't know, Connor, I'll buy you lunch or something like that, dude. We won't see another team in the tournament throughout the rest of the tournament score just 44 points. If it happens again, you choose the restaurant, Connor. I got
it's going to be East High Fish Fry. I hope you know that.
So. I got you. Okay. I got you back, man. I love that place. But, you know, when looking at it, you know, this kind of puts a perspective, and I'm sure Michigan State was watching this game and thinking to themselves, and I'm sure Tom Izzo had this message, this is how quickly your tournament dreams can vanish. This is how fragile this time of the year is. You could be riding high 1 week. Oh, yeah, we're moving on. Going to the Sweet 16. Oh, baby. Let's throw a party. Feeling good. And then in 6 or 7 days, come next week, you can be putting your face in a towel, crying, wishing that this day didn't come. Hoping that it's a dream, right? Hoping that it's just a nightmare and that you'll wake up from. So every game matters and you got to bring it. And Michigan State, you know, I keep hearing about, we've been feeding into this a lot here on Current Sports. Oh, if Michigan State can beat Duke, right? Duke and Michigan State, Spartans and Blue Devils. LSU is a good team. I don't know how much you guys have watched LSU this year. I watched some film late last night before I went to bed. LSU is a physical team. LSU is a team that can rebound. They force a lot of turnovers, which if there is any area on this Spartans team that has to get better, if there is a kryptonite on this Spartans team right now, other than injuries, right? And those things just happen. In Michigan State, that's been a bugaboo of theirs throughout this year. But if there's any other kryptonite other than injuries, it's turnovers. Michigan State had 22 turnovers against Minnesota. If they have 22 turnovers against LSU tonight, that could be a problem. All I'm saying is you cannot look ahead. And I'm sure Michigan State is not going to do that. Tom Izzo won't allow them to do that. But what we saw from Michigan last night, that's the first thing I thought about. Man, because I had Michigan moving on in my bracket. And it just really, again, put in perspective how 1 week you can be riding high and the next week you're done. That's it. Pack your bags, go home, watch the rest of the tournament if you can stand to. From your couch. So, just a moment. We'll preview. We'll give you a brief preview of Michigan State and LSU. But a few other takeaways from last night. Virginia silenced the doubters. You know, the Cavaliers, that redemption tour continues for that team. 1-seed Virginia, you know, using that historic upset. First time ever a 1-seed went down to a 16-seed, right? Maryland, Baltimore County stunned the Cavaliers last year. I'm sure that's being used as motivation this year for Virginia. Able to hold off Oregon and advance now to the eliteness of eight. Virginia guard Ty Jerome, 13.6 assists, who hit the decisive three-pointer with 3:33 remaining. He called it a dogfight, and that's exactly what it was. Virginia moves on. Texas Tech, you know, Texas Tech, what they did to Michigan last night, I think it also, you know, to flip this thing a little bit here, Texas Tech, I think, has – am I crazy in saying this, Connor? I think they have potential to win this whole thing. I think Texas Tech is that good. Their defense, Texas Tech's defense, puts them in any game that they play. And that offense was rolling last night. Call me crazy, but the Red Raiders are a serious team. Am I crazy in saying that, Connor?
I think they're a serious team. I think there's a chance they get to the Final Four, but I don't know if they get matched up with a team that is, Michigan, we knew all year, they don't have an offense. Their offense has not been great. If they get matched up with a team that can kind of match the intensity on the defensive side, then, you know, and produce some offense, any offense at all, I think they're beatable in that regard. I mean, you look at they in the Big 12 tournament. I know that's a while ago, granted, but in the Big 12 tournament, they lost to West Virginia because West Virginia was able to match them offensively and was able to just keep on hitting them, even though the defense was really good. If you find a team that just is able to bounce back from like the turnovers and the inevitable, you know, the block shots and all those things that come with facing a really good
defense, easier said than done.
That defense
reminded me a bit of Michigan State.
That's what I was. That's what I'm about to get to.
But better, I think their defense is better than Michigan State. What I saw last night, I was sitting there, jaw was on the floor. And how good? And I think that they stole a bit of the game plan. I'm sure they watched that Michigan State and Michigan film. You know, the three times that Michigan State beat Michigan this year, a lot of it has to do with switching down low and giving space to shooters. I mean, heck, we saw Cassius Winston matched up with John Teske from time to time using the smalls to clog the lane down low and bring a double team here and there. Texas Tech did that a lot last night.
The other thing with Michigan, what the heck was John Teske doing out on the perimeter for most of that game? Every time he was in the paint, he was at least able to get to the rim. But he was sitting on the perimeter. He looked like what was he thinking?
There was absolutely nothing
in the paint, and they got all the rebounds. I mean,
I think he was trying to prevent Michigan from going 0 from 3.
I mean, but still, come on.
Yeah, Jared Culver also was great, 22 points. And I just really like Chris Beard's team. I don't know, maybe I'm just living in the moment here, but I think Texas Tech has potential to go all the way.
I think Final Four is probable.
I think they'll go to the Final Four.
I think they can get to the Final Four. I don't know about championship. I think if you find a team that has a good enough offense and they're persistent in getting back, and even if it's a little bit here, a little bit there, I think that's going to be their downfall.
Okay. All right. Also, Gonzaga, that 72-58 win over Florida State, even though Florida State put up some fight in the final minutes. Mark Few's team, that's a really good Gonzaga team, even though I still believe they are the weaker of the one seeds out there. I mean, I had Florida State in my Final Four, and Florida State, you know, came up short. You know, I think Gonzaga is showing me that they're serious, and I think they hear the chatter as well. I was really impressed with what Gonzaga was able to do last night. And, FSU eliminated Gonzaga last year in the same round. So you talk about redemption, right? So we'll see what happens. I'm curious to see what happens in that elite game when it comes to Gonzaga. And also Purdue. They're more – this team is more than Carson Edwards, folks. And shout out to Matt Painter. You know, the joke that I used to have, you know, 2-3 years ago was that, oh, Matt Painter does – you know, they'll go out at some point in March. Matt Painter can have a great regular season, but when March comes, Matt Painter's teams collapse. That hasn't been the case this year. Carson Edwards, 29 points. He's been great all tournament long. But Ryan Klein had me catching the Holy Ghost yesterday. This dude was hitting threes from everywhere. And when he hit that step back in late in the second half with a hand in his grill, step back three on the right wing, fading back, oh my goodness. Ryan Klein put on a show last night. So Purdue is making a statement here. Purdue is pretty serious, and it's really cool to see, you know, Purdue representing the Big Ten the way that they are. So we'll see if Michigan State can continue that later on tonight. Your thoughts and impressions, and also getting some comments coming in on our Facebook page. I'll get to those comments on the other side of this first break. Want to hear if you want to call in and give your thoughts and predictions on what's going to take place tonight at 7:09 p.m. Would love to hear from you guys out there. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Michigan State. Welcome back to Current Sports. I was going to go
technically
into,
not wrong.
I'm technically
not wrong, but
technically not wrong because we do the show here on Michigan State's campus. See, I'm reading about Michigan State and LSU right now, so that's what was in my mind. Oh boy, thank goodness it's Friday. I want to also throw out this, Connor, because I'm not going to let this just fly by me. Real quick, Michigan and Texas Tech. And we've always debated all year, and I think the debate has been close for a long time now. Cassius Winston, without it, is the best point guard in the Big Ten Conference. But you'll hear Michigan fans say, well, I tell you that Xavier Simpson is something else, though. And Xavier Simpson
was MIA.
Oh, my goodness. He was 0-5. He played 36 minutes, 0-5 from the floor, 0 points. He had no points last night. None. Zero. Zilch. Nada. A donut. All right, just wanted to pass
Seriously,
it along.
How many turnovers did he have?
He had 4 turnovers.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Charles Matthews led the team with 5 turnovers. He had 12 points. Iggy Brazdeikis had 17 points. He led the team in the points. Also had 13 rebounds. Iggy was the only one that came to play. That's what it seemed like, really. And Matthews as well, but yeah. Okay. Also, getting some comments coming in at facebook.com/WKAR News. Chris says Michigan was the most overrated 2 seed in the tournament. And then he also goes on to say that I hope 1 week off for Michigan State won't make us rusty in the game. I don't know if I wouldn't say Michigan was overrated. I just think Texas Tech is just a really good team. I think this loss speaks more on how good Texas Tech is than how bad. And I say bad like that because I think Michigan is still a good team. Texas Tech is just better. It's a better team.
I thought at the end of the season, I thought the committee really should have put Michigan down to a 3 seed just because how they finished the year off. And I mean, it's not really to say that they're a fraudulent team. No, they're a good basketball team.
Good basketball team,
no mistake. But at the same time, they kind of ended on a. If you think about the way their season ended, they lose to Michigan State
three times.
But I mean, it's your rival, and for most of the year, Michigan looked just as good, if not at sometimes better than Michigan State did.
Some people believe that. I didn't. I even when they were going on that crazy hot streak to begin the season, I said, all right, let's just wait until they see the Spartans. Even though I did have a few monologues here on how good they were and how special it is to have both of these teams. But I always said, all right, let's just see how they match up against Michigan State. But I will say this as well. I cannot front here. I keep it 100. I didn't think that Michigan State was going to beat Michigan 3 times.
I don't think anyone said that.
Nobody saw that.
I don't think anybody saw that coming.
No, not at all. So, yeah, we can go back and forth about that. I mean, but you know, Chris believes that Michigan was overrated. Ben goes on to reiterate how it was the worst showing by Michigan in the NCAA tournament in 71 years as a 2 seed. Also, Ben gives us a scoring update. It is the end of the second inning right now when it comes to Michigan and Michigan State baseball, just down the road from here at McLane Baseball Stadium at Cobbs Field. And it's tied still. 0-0, end of the second, going into the third. Also, Mark has a question and says, hey, Al, what are the Las Vegas odds for Michigan State and LSU tonight? Well, I'm looking here, and according to Bovada, Michigan State is a six-point favorite. I don't know if you're seeing anything different, but looking at the sports book that I have in front of me right now, Michigan State is a six-point favorite. So, before we hit this final break and bring on Johnny Lewis for Fit Fridays, let's dive into this real quick, Connor. Michigan State, LSU, CBS, 7:09 p.m. I'll ask you this first, because we're starting with the line. Do you think Michigan State covers that 6-point spread?
I think they win by 6 points. Okay, that was my
you think
prediction.
They win by six
I think
points.
They win by 6 points, but then again, you know, okay. LSU, you know, they play everyone tight. This is a team that, you know, they Yale gave them a little bit of trouble, and they played them tight, finished out the game. You have them when they take on Maryland, they play tight and they finish out the game. You know, and even like back to their SEC season, they just play everyone tight. So I think MSU will win by 6 points, but you never know with this LSU team. They play incredibly similar to Michigan State. There's a lot. It's like you said, physical team, a lot of pick and roll based offense, and a lot of just focus on getting into the paint and bullying your way to the basket.
Yeah, and you talk about a team that's endured a lot this year. They really have. I mean, you know, we all know about the situation concerning Will Wade, who was suspended indefinitely after Yahoo Sports reported that he was caught on a federal wiretap talking to an agent about paying a player. He's done. He's suspended. I had totally forgot about this. Graham Couch of the Atlantic State Journal. Of course, Graham covers Michigan State sports, and he is out in Washington covering Michigan State and LSU. And, you know, he has a piece entitled Shrouded in Scandal, Tigers Players Are Unashamed. And I totally forgot, you know, he goes, of course, in depth about the Will Wade suspension, but also brings up what happened in late September in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, when it came to the shooting death of Wade Sims, who unfortunately was fatally shot in the head during an altercation, during a fight. So, and he's an LSU basketball player. So this team has gone through emotionally a lot, and that could play two ways. It could totally be a distraction and can totally throw you off your game, but I believe it's gone in the other way for LSU. They have basically said, look, man, we're a family. We've been through a lot. This is bringing us closer together. It's us against the world. Let's go out there and handle business. Basketball is our getaway from all of the craziness that we've dealt with away from the court. So, and like you said, Connor, LSU is a really good basketball team. They were really among the surprises in college basketball this season, winning the SEC championship outright, 16-2. In conference, that includes wins over some pretty impressive competition, Tennessee and Kentucky. And it's only meetings with those two teams this year. Impressive stuff. So, again, now the Tigers are in the sweetness of 16. And a few names that you're going to be hearing about a lot, they are led by point guard Tremont Waters. He's averaging 15 points per game right now. He's going to be lined up directly against Cassius Winston. You'll hear that name a lot tonight. Skylar Mays as well. He's the two guard. He's averaging 13.6 points per game. Down low, is it Naz or Naz Reed? Not sure. I have to look that up. But
I think it's Naz.
Is Naz Reed, N-A-Z Reed. 6'10", he's averaging 13.7 points per game. He plays the center. Those are the three players for LSU that you'll hear a lot tonight. This is a team that's gritty. They will get physical with you. They're going to push Michigan State. This is going to be a back and forth game, I believe. And bottom line, if LSU dominates the boards and Michigan State turns it over, MSU is going to lose. But if Michigan State can take care of the basketball, get quality possessions, quality looks at the basket, I think the Spartans move on. I think they will move on. But this will not be easy. The Tigers led the SEC in offensive rebounding at 13.5 points per game. But I think Cassius Winston is going to have, like he has all year, I think he's going to have a big game tonight, and Michigan State prevails. What say you? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can hop on Twitter and join the fun. Tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Ray from Indiana, I do see ya. I'm going to get you on the other side of this final break. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Line one, Ray from Indiana. Ray, I know you're feeling good because the Bullies lost to Texas Tech last night.
I woke up, and it was midnight, and I prayed. I said, God, please humble the Bullies. I turned it on, and look at my eyes. I couldn't believe it. They lost by 19. They only got 44 points, the worst in NCAA history. I mean, it just doesn't get any sweeter than that. Jimmy and Johnny, you little puppets, you keep losing and losing and losing. It's so great to see no Rose Bowl since 2006, no Big Ten championships in football, none in basketball. You lost to the Spartans 3 years. In honor of that, I've got a baseball song to tell you. Take me out to the ball game I got for you. I've been waiting for the Bullies to get beat out. I was going to sing it to you. What do you think of that?
Ray, another...
I got a song for you.
What is the song? Are you gonna sing that?
Take me out to the ball game. You ready?
Go ahead.
Take me out to the ball game. Buy me 3 Spartan victories. If the Bullies win, it'll be a shame, shame, shame. 1, 2, 3 Spartan victories. You're out at the old ball game. Thank you, Johnny. Thank you, Jimmy, for being such a choke artist and a puppet and a loser like you always are.
Ray, this is one of your best calls ever. Ray, I'm curious, real quick, before we get to Johnny Lewis for Fit Fridays, how long did it take you to write that song?
Oh, I've been having it for a week or two in my heart, but I thought I'll wait till the Bullies get beat because you never know, they might get lucky like they did last year the other time.
Okay.
Runner-ups in the tournament, that's all they can be. They'll be runner-ups all their life because they got a bunch of puppets in charge down there, and it won't change any. They're all about money, and thank God for people like you guys that you know about the Lord. Keep beating the Bullies,
right,
and I'll be happy.
Ray from Indiana. Ray, thank you, man.
Sorry,
oh,
buddy.
Boy. I don't think any caller can top Ray from Indiana here on Current Sports. I challenge our Current Sports listeners out there to do that, but it's tough. Ray from Indiana is one of a kind. Okay, we're dialing up Johnny Lewis for Fit Fridays in just a moment. He'll take us home on this Friday edition of Current Sports. Any predictions for the weekend, Connor? I mean, what do you think about these other games? I mean, and also, I don't think I got your prediction on, do you think Michigan State handles business tonight against LSU?
Michigan State wins this game, like I said, by 6. I think it's going to be close down the end, and then someone's going to get some sort of big shot.
And you did say that.
Yeah.
Okay.
For the other games,
real quick,
UNC over Auburn. I don't think Auburn is, they're good, but not that good.
I got North Carolina as well.
I think Duke and Virginia Tech is going to be a buzzer beater situation. I think we're going to have UCF part two.
Duke wins.
Duke
and Kentucky
again.
And Houston.
I'll give me Houston.
All right, I'm going with Kentucky there. Okay. Do we have Johnny Lewis? Is he ready? Johnny Lewis, Fit Fridays. I'm sorry, Johnny. We had trouble with our line too, but you guys know each and every Friday we welcome my man 100 Grand from the West Coast, MSU alum, founder of Blessed Body Training. We've got fitness expert Johnny Lewis now on the phone. Johnny, how you feeling, man?
Hey, what's up, Al? I'm doing great. I don't think I can top Ray, y'all. I mean, that's a tough call to follow, to be honest. That was a great song. I'm doing great today.
Yeah, Ray is one of a kind, Johnny. Ray is one of a kind, man. All right, because we're short on time, I'll just dive right into it. Again, you give us a tip that we can use both in the gym and in the kitchen. And I love this because I think, you know, the tip that you're giving us in the gym, you can apply this to so many different areas of life, period. You want to talk about the importance of setting goals. Take it away, man.
Oh, yeah. You can apply setting goals to anything in life because it's important, especially in fitness. So I want to talk today about setting goals and hitting your personal records. So a lot of people call them PRs, but it stands for personal record. And it can be with any kind of lifting or exercise you do. I'm going to use bench press, for example, because I have a goal this year for bench press. So,
and what is that goal?
PR in that.
What's that goal?
I want to hit 495 pounds in bench press this year.
Oh my goodness!
I put it on my Instagram.
Wow.
Yeah,
I tell you what, Johnny.
A couple of years ago.
And you know what? For most people, that's a dream, not a goal. I tell you that, brother. Not you though. Not you.
Right. So I got a few tips that can help you achieve this personal record.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, always consistency will be the number one thing. You have to stay consistent, working out on a weekly basis, on a daily, if you can, but at least weekly. Number two, you have to add weight slowly. Take baby steps when you're increasing your weight or increasing your time. But do not be afraid to do a little bit extra. Don't be afraid of the weight. So mm-hmm. That brings me to number three, by having a person to spot you. And that's critical when you're going for heavier weight.
Right.
And that goes back to what I've been preaching ever since we started the show, by having an accountability partner. So I hope by now we're into March, going into April. Hopefully by now you all have some kind of accountability partner, or you have been doing a good job by keeping yourself accountable, you know?
That's right. If not, shame on you, you know?
number four is proper nutrition. So mm-hmm. You have to get enough protein. You have to get your vitamins and nutrients so your body can function properly. But with those four things, it's a formula that will not fail if you want to hit your personal record.
I love that, man. And, you know, when trying to reach those personal records, and again, especially if you're weightlifting and you're trying to hit a certain weight like you are, Johnny, if you don't have a spotter, what you'll find yourself doing is when you are on that bench press, you're just lifting weight that you know you can throw up easily because, again, you don't want to kill yourself in the gym. But if you have somebody to spot you, you can kind of push it. And if something does go wrong, that person has your back as a spotter. So I hear you on that
exactly.
One. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Exactly. And I do want to mention that you may not always hit your goal at first. You know, you got to test yourself and keep trying. Bruce Lee said it best. A goal is not always meant to be reached. It often serves simply as something to aim at. So, you know, just having the goal there, you're going to improve. You may not always hit it, but, you know, you always just got to keep on trying.
Johnny, you just brought up my childhood hero, Bruce Lee. I don't think that's ever happened here on the show. Thank you so much for that, Johnny. You know, I'm a Bruce fan, baby.
You're going to love that, Al.
Oh, I just got chills, man. That alone makes this the best Fit Friday we've had. Okay. Okay. You also want to close out with 4 minutes left here. You want to talk about the health benefits of beets.
Yes, beets. So I did not eat very many beets growing up, to be honest, but one thing that turned me on the beets is that I was reading one day and I read that it can help with blood pressure. I've always had like an elevated, not too high, but elevated blood pressure. Mm-hmm. And even it caused problems when I played high school football. So that's what turned me on to beets. So beets are really, really good for maintaining your blood pressure, keeping it at a healthy level due to the nitrates in it. It's also a great source of fiber. Low in fat, a little bit of protein, tons of vitamins and minerals that you need for daily functioning. So beets is something that you should include in your diet.
I love that, man. That's awesome. Yeah, and, you know, and a lot of people, you know, bring up beets and talk about, you know, how good they are for your body, but I had no idea that they specifically target, you know, your blood pressure and can keep that in check. That's awesome.
Yeah. And a healthy recipe, because beets, I'm not a fan of just the taste of beets. Sometimes I throw them in salads. It's good. That's better in terms of digesting the fiber. But I've been drinking the beet juice lately. I buy one from a local store out here in Arizona, but you can make it yourself. I have the recipe right here. It's basically just two beets, an apple, and three carrots. So it's like a very simple recipe and very good for you. I recommend you try it, and I'll send you a link for the recipe as well.
Awesome stuff, man. Johnny, another fire segment of Fit Fridays. Thank you so much, man. Enjoy the weekend, all right?
All right, thank you, Al. Go green. Let's stay blessed.
Always stay blessed, brother. Okay. All right, man. Time flies when you're having fun. We have 90 seconds left here in the hour. I really wanted to get current sports beat reporter Catherine White on the show because I know she's done an awesome job, as well as all of our current sports beat reporters producing some outstanding content courtesy of WKAR.org. She did a great job profiling Gentry Powell, who is a Holt High School soccer star. And that story right now is blowing up on our website. I also want to shout out Noah, who's behind the glass as well. Catherine and Noah, thank you guys so much for your help. Connor, thank you. Awesome job all week. Enjoy March Madness, folks. Hopefully, cross your fingers, right? Hopefully, Michigan State is still dancing the next time you hear my voice here on WKAR AM 870 105.1 FM. Michigan State, LSU, tonight. And then, depending on what happens, you know, Michigan State will hopefully make it to the Elite Eight. And wouldn't that be something if they did meet up with Duke? Oh, boy. And not just met up with Duke, but somehow, some way, found a way to slay the dragon that is Coach K and the Duke Blue Devils. That would be something else. So we'll see what happens, folks. We'll see you Monday. In the meantime, again, you have a great weekend. And as always, be easy, people.